This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
We are live on the People Speak at BBS Radio Network. I am Sophia Ray, your host for the week. We encourage audience participation by calling in questions toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-888-429-5471. Listen by phone live at 716-748-0144 or log in at bbsradio.com, navigate to station 2, and click the listen icon. I want to give an early happy Valentine's Day to all the lovers out there. Tonight we have a perfect guest for the occasion. She is the extraordinary, legendary American civil rights attorney, author, activist, advocating women's equal rights, her core driven force. Ms. Gloria Allred is one of the most influential women in civil law. Her unwavering dedication, determination, devotion, and diligence has lofted her countless achievements and honors. She is a strong as a rock, and she is bold as a bull, wise and compassionate. From her book, Fight Back and Win, I quote, "I start every day with the knowledge that helping people and fighting for justice is a duty, that nothing worthwhile comes without sacrifice, self-discipline, and courage," unquote. Coincidentally, our guest tonight always wears red. In fact, her name is Gloria Allred. What better guest in honor of upcoming Valentine's Day to have welcome to our show? Thank you, Gloria, for being here with us tonight. How are you?
Thanks for inviting me, Sophia. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're very welcome. I'm glad to have you on. Thank you so much. Is your favorite color red, by the way?
I think that's the case. Yes, absolutely. I don't wear it all the time, but some people think I do because of my name, but I don't. I think it's a color I really like.
Okay. And does it have any meaning for you at all? Perhaps?
No, not at all.
Alrighty. So I understand you used to do talk radio, correct?
I'm not doing talk radio anymore. I was a radio talk show host for 14 years on KABC Talk Radio in Los Angeles, and I enjoyed it very much. I enjoyed hosting.
Nice.
I've also, of course, hosted a nationally syndicated television show, We the People with Gloria Allred, and I have my book. But right now I'm full-time doing my cases, and we have a national practice. I have an office in New York as well as Los Angeles. I'm also licensed to practice in Washington, D.C., and we're co-counseling in many other states, in Florida, in New Jersey, in Connecticut, where we just had a great result in a case that we filed on behalf of 5 rape and sexual assault victims against the University of Connecticut. And so I'm traveling a lot. I'm very, very busy with my cases, and this is what I love to do, is helping people to win justice.
Absolutely. When you were doing talk radio, did you have any guests on there that you wish you had on there, or who was your favorite guest?
You know, we did have guests frequently. I can't think of anyone that I would say was my favorite guest, but I did enjoy talking about whatever the issues were that were in the news that day, or issues that I thought should be in the news, and, you know, I like to challenge people. And I loved the involvement of my listeners and having terrific debates in the court of public opinion with them. So all in all, it was a great adventure every day and a great opportunity to help to create climate for change, which is, I'm all about, you know, being what Gandhi said, that you must be the change you wish to see in the world. So encouraging people to know that if they want change, they're going to have to work for it. It's not going to come because anybody's going to give it to them. They're going to have to fight to win it.
Let's see here. You know, there is a caller on the line, but before we get to that caller, I kind of just, you know, I was looking back and, you know, back in the 90s, and I'm kind of curious about this, so I am going to ask. It was about 94 in the LA Times. You had wrote a piece about prostitution or persecution. You know, I'm very curious how you stand on that today.
Well, I do think that that prostitution should be decriminalized. There's no reason to be arresting prostitutes. I mean, really, the concept essentially is that you can give your body away for free, but you can't sell it. So I mean, most prostitutes who are doing this, and I've known many of them, are not doing it because they love sex. That's the fantasy that a lot of men have, that that's the reason the women are doing it. The reality is they need the money. A lot of them are on drugs, and they're taking care of a drug habit. And in addition, a lot of them are also supporting children. And unfortunately, because women are paid so little in this country to do many, many jobs, they can earn more doing being a prostitute than they can doing other kinds of work. And so they do it in order to help provide a better life for their children. It's really a sacrifice on their part. And so I think we're wasting a lot of taxpayers' resources. Valuable police time, you know, going around trying to catch prostitutes and
right, absolutely.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
I'm here.
Okay, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, yeah. My question is to Gloria Allred, and it's based on what you just talked about. One of the people that I believe she's representing is a known prostitute who has been arrested, you know, in numerous times and numerous places for prostitution. You know, hey, that may be her dream, but the reality is prostitution is still against the law. How can you take a person like that to be credible without any shred of evidence?
Well,
my question.
First of all, because it's against the law, because somebody, I don't know what you mean by it was her dream. I don't think it's anybody's dream to become a prostitute. I think it is a dream for a lot of women to want to earn decent money.
No, that was in reference to what Gloria Allred just said about prostitution. She would like to see it become legal because these people have to find a way to support themselves. I'm just saying the fact that it's still illegal to be a prostitute in this country doesn't make it right for the person that she's representing. And my question is, the person that she's representing has a questionable background, a criminal background. She doesn't have any evidence against Mr. Cosby. So how could she be held, you know, accountable?
Okay, well, all right. You're essentially saying that if a person is a prostitute,
she has no credibility is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
she has no credibility.
If a person is a prostitute, then they have no credibility. I don't agree with that.
Go ahead.
I mean, look, if a person, if in Mr. Cosby's situation, there's, I think, more than 25, 30 women who've come out publicly, so many, and described what they allege he did to them, acts of sexual misconduct, acts of drugging. This is what they have alleged.
Absolutely.
And in many, many states, and these are many, many women who are not prostitutes who have alleged that. And who've never been prostitutes and who have no criminal history whatsoever. So the idea that somehow, that because someone is a prostitute, that you shouldn't give them any credibility, I would respectfully disagree with that. And, when you say she has no evidence, I don't know what you know about this particular person to whom you're referring. I know to whom you're referring. I'm not going to name her. First of all, her word is evidence. It can be disputed and refuted if it's in a court of law. Problem is, Mr. Cosby doesn't want to be in a court of law. I've invited him to sue all of my clients whom have made allegations against him, and for him to agree that he will, or not to sue them, but excuse me, but to invite them to sue him, and that he should then agree that he will not put up as a defense the fact that it's too late to sue him, the statute of limitations. And if he would agree to do that, all of my clients would be happy to let a judge and jury decide who's telling the truth. But that's not something that Mr. Cosby has agreed to. So I guess you really have to ask yourself, do you believe Mr. Cosby? Do you believe his denials? And you think all of the women who have made allegations against him, many of whom don't even know each other, are lying? Or do you think they're all telling the truth and Mr. Cosby's lying? I guess that's something you'll have to decide.
Let's take a look. Why would they be lying? Is Mr. Cosby getting attacked? Is this an attack on organizations, social organizations, such as Scientology? What is your opinion about Scientology?
I couldn't hear your question. I'm so sorry. I couldn't hear what you just said, Sophia.
I was asking, is this an attack on Mr. Cosby? It's a possible attack on Mr. Cosby. Don't get me wrong here. I am a my family is a victim of violence against women. We have lost a family member. So for the record, I'm not defending Cosby here, but I'm just speculating, what if this was an attack by a certain organization against him?
Well, there's no evidence that there's an attack by any organization against him. There are many, many women who have come forward and spoke out against him. By the way, the number of women that have spoken out is only, frankly, a small number of all of those who have contacted me. Because many more have contacted me who have either not yet spoken out and don't wish to do so, or who are going to do so in the future. So, they're not making any money from this. Most of them are not people.
Probably all types of women throwing themselves at him. Why would he need to drive?
You're both talking, so I can't understand either one of you.
All right.
Go ahead.
Caller, are you finished?
Well, I wanted to respond to what she was saying.
Okay,
just because these people came out. Just because these people came out and make accusations against Mr. Cosby does not make it true.
Well,
I think it's just a case of them piling on to try to sue this man and to defame him more than anything.
Well, let me ask you this.
That's what I think that's about.
If they're defaming him, why doesn't he sue them for defamation? He hasn't done so.
Yeah, because he didn't want to go through what y'all trying to put him through. I think this
he
is
doesn't want to have
case.
A judge and jury decide. Now, why not?
I think it's frivolous, and I think he thinks the same thing. This is why he doesn't want to go through with this.
Well, I mean, he thinks it's frivolous? He's never said
other than
that it's frivolous.
Claims of rape.
He's never
other
said
than
that.
Their claims of rape. How many times women have accused people of rape with no evidence?
All right, caller, time is up. All right, Don, go ahead, take the caller away for a moment. Let's take a look at this case with Bill Cosby. How many women have came forward? This is already.
How many have come forward?
Yeah.
You know, I've lost count. You'd have to look at how many are reported in the news. Some people say it's 20, 25. Some people say it's 30. I don't know the number, but I know a lot of women have contacted me. And one has filed a lawsuit. I don't represent her in that, but Judy Huth filed a lawsuit alleging that in California, when she was 15 years old, that he committed acts of sexual misconduct against her at the Playboy Mansion. That case is still pending. I don't know what's going to happen to it. There are some other people suing him for defamation in another state, another attorney. You know, all I can say is, again, most of these women are not women who ever wanted to be actresses, had anything to do with television or the entertainment industry. And they just want to know, they want their allegations to be known. And
there's a lot of rumors going on. They're saying some of these women are paid.
Three options.
They're paid to do this against
Pardon
him.
Me? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry.
I've given him three choices. He could choose any one of the above. One is invite the women to sue, let a judge and jury decide. Two, if you don't want the scrutiny of a public courtroom and a public trial, then we could do this behind closed doors with retired judges who could then hear whatever evidence the alleged victims would like to present. Mr. Cosby could present his defenses through his attorneys and his testimony. And let's let the judges decide, the retired judges decide, who's telling the truth. And
well,
that could be done in arbitration or mediation.
He's
rejected all of those three options.
So
now, that's
the
way to do it. Let a neutral person decide who's telling the truth, the retired judge. Why doesn't he want that one?
Well, what if he's not guilty?
Pardon me?
What if he's not guilty?
Then the judge can announce that publicly. Why, and who better than a retired judge or an actual judge to make that decision? The clients that I represent have confidence in the judge, and they're willing to take the risk of what the judge might decide about what they have to say. But apparently Mr. Cosby is not willing to take that risk. So why not? You have to ask yourself, if they're willing to go before a judge, retired judge or an actual judge and jury, why is Mr. Cosby not willing to do that when these are such serious allegations?
Good question.
Yeah, there's no answer. There's no answer to that, and it must be that he has no confidence in what a judge will decide. These women are ready to present whatever evidence they have, and the judge can decide they don't have enough evidence or they do have evidence. And then let the judge decide if they do have evidence, if they've suffered damage, you know, what that damage is and what kind of compensation they should be afforded. Or the judge can decide no damage and provide nothing. So this is something that is done all the time, alternative dispute resolution, but that's not something what Mr. Cosby apparently wants to do. He wants this battle apparently in the court of public opinion, but he's losing in the court of public opinion. And now he's having to cancel a lot of shows. He just canceled the one in Boston. It was just announced today he's canceled. The one in Pittsburgh is canceled. The one that was going to be in Nevada is canceled. More and more are being canceled. So whether it's by mutual agreement or for any other reason, you know, it's not a good time for Mr. Cosby. He has an opportunity to try to vindicate himself, but he's not taking that opportunity. And, you know, women are going to be heard. They're not going to be silenced anymore. Even if they don't have any legal right to sue him at this point, then they still have a right to speak out, and he has a right to speak out as well. But right now, I think he's losing in the court of public opinion.
You might be right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we want to know. You know, I think the public has a right to know. Is he a saint, or is he a sexual predator, or is he something in between? We're not going to know unless this is really decided in a court of law somehow or through a legal process. And he just wants to fight it out. You know, I guess it was Felicia Rashad said something to the effect of, you know, someone else is out to destroy his legacy or something to that effect. Well, the person, she wants to know, like, who's trying to destroy his legacy? Well, he's responsible for destroying his own legacy by the way he's handling this and letting these allegations be out there and not responding. I think he should respond to each and every allegation by each and every woman. You know, if he wants to deny each and every allegation, let him go ahead and deny it. But that's not what he's been doing. And Camille Cosby, his wife, whom I also see as a victim in all of this, you know, she said, you know, she issued a statement a while back, and she said, you know, she wonders who the real victim is. Well, I invite Camille and Felicia to come and meet at my office or any other place they designate with any and all of my clients. Listen to what they have to say about what they allege Mr. Cosby did to them. And then I invite them to ask any and all questions of any of the women. I will not interrupt. They can ask whatever they would like. And then they can decide who the real victim is in the end. Have they accepted my invitation to do that? Has Camille responded? No. And I'm starting to feel she's not going to respond. Maybe she wants to suggest that Mr. Cosby is a victim, but there are a lot of people who think otherwise.
Let's go into our caller here from North Carolina.
Sure.
Let's put Julie on the line.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Julie.
Hey, I've been listening. I want to ask you one thing. has Bill Cosby been, has he been convicted for this crime, for all these crimes, or is he being accused of it? Because, see, that's a difference between being accused of it, so I'm saying.
Absolutely. He's been accused. But he has not been prosecuted.
He's been accused of it. But he's not been prosecuted, though, right?
No, he has not been prosecuted, and let me tell you the reason. The reason he hasn't been prosecuted is, first of all, there is a time period in every state during which a case must be prosecuted, or if it's not done within that time, it's too late, unless it's murder, and that's not what we're alleging. No statute of limitations, no time period for murder. You could be prosecuted any time for that. But if you're, you know, if there's probable cause to believe you did it. But for everything else, there is a time period most places. Although for rape, and like in New Jersey, there's no time period. You could, any time you could be prosecuted for that. But for most cases, there is a time period. And it's, bottom line is, it's too late in most places for him to be prosecuted, even if the police feel that they have probable cause to arrest him, and even if the DA feels there's sufficient evidence to prosecute him. Too late. Now, in certain states, he could say, he could agree, look, I'm not going to assert the defense of the statute of limitations. It's okay with me. I'll agree I can be charged. I'm not going to put that up that as an argument, as a defense, that it's too late to charge me. And then, I mean, this is what a very famous criminal defense attorney did just recently, Alan Dershowitz, who was accused of sexual misconduct with a minor, someone under the age of 18, and he vigorously denies that. And he said publicly, look, I want my day in court. I don't. In other words, he doesn't want this just out there, you know, in the court of public opinion. I'll agree that it's not too late to prosecute me. Go ahead, charge me, and let this be decided in a court of law. That's what famous Alan Dershowitz did.
Okay, well, to me,
agreed,
I did everything
but Bill Cosby didn't do that.
But how long... This that you're talking about, how long did it take her to come out and say something?
Who?
It didn't take her 20 years, did it? This girl that you're talking about, it didn't take her 20 years.
I don't know, because that's not my case, so I really can't
tell
you.
Know.
All right, Julie, we got to wrap this up. All right, thank you, Julie, for calling in. I appreciate it. Don, can you take that away? Thank you. So this is a hot subject, and, you know, it's got everybody riled up.
Well, that's good. I'm glad.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've been doing a lot of demonstrations before his shows, haven't you?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
You've been doing a lot of demonstrations before his shows.
I did in Denver. Yeah, in Denver recently. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because one of my clients, Beth Ferrier, lives in Denver, so when he went to perform in Denver, I was there. I did a teach-in speak-out, invited members of the public to come and answered their questions about, you know, what we were trying to do in reference to Bill Cosby, and then we did a protest outside of the Buell Theater where he was performing. He performed two shows. Now, my client, by the way, Beth Ferrier in that case, was Jane Doe, number 5. In a lawsuit that was filed against Mr. Cosby back in, I think it was 2005 or 2006, by Andrea Constantine, and she alleged that he had committed acts of sexual misconduct against Bill Cosby. At that time, my client, Beth Ferrier, whom I did not represent at that time, took a lie detector test about her allegations against Mr. Cosby. Mm-hmm. It was administered to her by the National Enquirer, and she passed. And they were going to run the story. And Mr. Cosby admits in a deposition, which is under oath, that he made a deal with the National Enquirer to kill Beth's story because he was concerned that if they ran it with her accusations against him, that the accusations of Andrea Constantine in her lawsuit would more likely be believed. And so he made a deal with the National Enquirer to kill it, and in exchange, he would give an exclusive interview to the National Enquirer, which he did. So, you know, I think you have to take that into account when you think about who's telling the truth here.
Let's take one more call, Gloria, before we go into break. Samantha from California, are you still there?
I'm here.
Hi, welcome on.
Okay.
Gloria,
Hi, Samantha.
Go ahead.
It is such a pleasure, Gloria. I have always watched your you on. I'm getting so much feedback right now. It's such a pleasure. Okay,
thank you.
My question is, do you think if Charlotte Law's friend had come forward sooner about Bill drugging her for sex and him being a somnophiliac, this story would have been completely different? And my second question, there's a lot of noise in the background.
Yeah, I couldn't hear
and
your first
do you
one.
Believe
if who
Obama,
had come forward?
If Charlotte Law's friend, Sandra or Sandy, had come forward sooner about Bill drugging her for sex and him being a somnophiliac, do you think the story right now would... Next question, do you believe that Obama's reaction to the verdict of the Trayvon case, hindered justice? That's it.
Well, I mean, when you say his reaction to the verdict, what do you mean by what? Why? What do you believe that? What do you feel that he said that was a reaction?
Okay, when the verdict was read, you could see it on his face, and about the reaction that he did not like the reaction of it, and
he didn't like you
continued
saying
he
didn't like what the result was, right? Okay, well, you know,
right.
I'll start with that, and then I'll go backwards into, you know, the somnophilic question. You know, of course, in the Trayvon Martin case, you know, I think President Obama, of course, is a lawyer, very fine lawyer, brilliant lawyer, and, you know, he understands that when there is a verdict in a court of law, if it's a verdict of acquittal, the jury's verdict has to be respected. And, you know, everybody has a right to disagree, but the jury did hear all the evidence. I doubt that President Obama did. I know that I didn't hear all the evidence. But the jury did.
Exactly what I was
And
thinking.
You have to respect that verdict, and that, you know, that's what our jury system is all about. You don't have to agree with it, but you need to respect it. They made their best judgment. So I don't know. I don't think that whatever his feeling was, which he didn't really express, you know, whether I don't think that's really had an impact. The second question has to do with somnophilia, and some people may not be familiar with that. And Bill Cosby, there have been some experts in the psychological field that allege, without ever having met or treated Mr. Cosby, and this may or may not be true, that he's a somnophiliac. In other words, a person who kind of gains pleasure from being able to have a woman be unconscious and then, you know, taking advantage of her sexually or, you know, doing something of a sexual nature to her because they like control and they like the idea they have complete control if a woman's unconscious, and that might account for his allegedly drugging or putting something in a woman's drink. I don't know. And what if somebody had come forward earlier? I don't know. Andrea Considine came forward in 2005. There were people, I think, that made allegations before that. You know, people say, well, why did it take so long for women to come forward? Well, Bill Cosby is rich. He is powerful. He is very famous. He is a successful man. He's got $400 million, according to the Internet. I don't know if that's true. And, you know, we're talking about most of the people who allege they are victims, they are typical people. They are afraid, you know, they're afraid of attacking someone who was rich and powerful, famous. They were afraid that they might not be believed. They also didn't know that he was doing this to anybody else or didn't have any belief that he would. Didn't think that they would be believed because who were they against Bill Cosby? So, you know, or they may have felt intimidated, or they might have been afraid they'd be attacked by his paid attack dogs, who are his lawyers and his PR people and his entourage. And, in fact, some of them have been attacked when they spoke out publicly. So, you know, there are many reasons people didn't come forward. They're not required to come forward, but they didn't come forward. Some of them did tell family members at the time. So, you know, I think that people have to understand that there are many reasons that women don't speak out. Often they live in fear. And fear is a weapon used by many people who are sexual predators against those who are their victims, so that they can continue to prey on the vulnerable without fear that the victims will do anything.
All right, let's take this.
Absolutely. One second.
I
just want to say, Gloria, that
you're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
Hi, I'm Richard Valzer. This is the great BBS Radio.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please give to the World Food Program.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive, but there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who were forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
This land is your land.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
All right, we are back. This is Sophia Ray with Gloria Allred. I encourage our listeners to call 1-888-429-5471 with any questions. Right now we're discussing Bill Cosby and the alleged and his alleged crimes against women. You know, this is a big, big deal, Gloria, right?
Yes, it is.
And for the people or the women that have not came forward, what is your advice for them?
Have not come forward in reference to Bill Cosby?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I mean, I think it really, first of all, I think what they should do is seek legal advice, and I'm happy to speak to any of them that want to reach out to me. And then they can decide what's best for them. I don't tell everybody to go public, and I don't tell everybody not to go public. I try to tell people what their legal options are, and the benefits and the risks of any decision they might want to make, and then they can make a decision for themselves because they're adults and they can decide what's best under their own particular set of circumstances. And they can decide whether they want to take a risk, whether it's worth taking the risk, whether the benefits of doing so outweigh the risk, or whether the risks outweigh the benefit. This is kind of an analysis I like to go through with people so they can make their own informed decision.
Okay, as a civil lawyer, now there's this infamous group, organization known as Scientology. A lot of people are starting to circulate information that Bill Cosby is or was a Scientologist. Is there anything that you know about that? And if that is true, and with the rules of Scientology and how they treat their members and through the attacks and everything, does this look like he's being attacked at all from maybe an infamous group like Scientology?
I don't know anything about whether or not he has been or is currently a Scientologist. I have no information on that one whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Are you aware of the attacks that Scientology promotes when their members want to leave?
I've certainly read reports about that. I don't have any
for a woman who would represent
one way or another.
For a woman who would represent, an individual's rights, what could you do, or would you have anything, that you can say about that, because you represent an individual's rights against organizations like that?
I don't have any information they're involved in this matter, or that they have been. I just don't know. I can't comment. I don't have any information about that. I don't have any information. They've even made any public statements about Bill Cosby. I don't know if they have or not. I have not read them. So I really I just can't comment on that.
Okay. He's not agreed to put $100 million in the fund, correct?
He hasn't agreed to put 10 cents in the fund. He hasn't agreed to have a judge and jury decide, or behind closed doors have retired judges decide. If he wanted to have his attorneys contact me and say, we won't put any money into a fund, but we want a judge and jury to decide this, or we want to do this behind closed doors with retired judges and just let them decide what they're going to decide, I'd be open to that. But no, he hasn't made any proposal. He just rejected every option I've suggested.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you have to ask yourself why.
I want to just, jump to another topic really quick here, and we can go back to Cosby. But you had mentioned on record about feminists, if somebody is not a feminist, that they are a bigot. Do you still hold that in?
Yeah, do I still hold to that? Yeah, a feminist, according to the dictionary, is a person who believes in legal, social, political, and economic equality for women with men. So if you don't believe in equality, equal rights for women, then you must believe in second-class citizenship for women, subordination of women. And that means you must be a bigot because you don't believe in equal rights. What do you believe in? Second-class citizenship? I mean, I don't see it. To me, it's like you're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. There's nothing in between. So you either believe in equal rights or you don't. What would you call a person who says that African-Americans or Latinos or Asian-Americans should not enjoy equal rights? They should be subordinated. They should be second-class citizens. Would you call them a bigot? I would. So I think the same is true for women. Are you there? Sophia? Hello? We'll be right back.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Alrighty, here we are. You know, we have a caller on the line, Gloria. Can you, are we connecting here?
Hello.
Hey, Dan, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Dan from New Hampshire. I'm a little bit troubled by your endorsement of Obama claiming he's a great attorney, the constitutional attorney, that has made executive orders that reserve the right to assassinate a U.S. citizen anywhere on the globe. That's a little bit troubling for me, especially in regards to human rights. How can you endorse someone like Obama who has a blatant disregard for the Bill of Rights and due process? I just don't understand how you can endorse that. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not going to say I agree with each and everything he's ever done as president, but having said that, I still think he's a brilliant legal mind. I know a lot of people that are brilliant legal minds with whom I sometimes disagree. I say that because he's a Harvard Law graduate. He was editor of the Law Review. You know, he taught constitutional law, and I think he's a brilliant lawyer, brilliant president, but I don't necessarily agree with everything that he says or does. I'm sure he doesn't agree with everything I say or do either. I mean, I can't think of any president where I've ever agreed with every single thing they've ever said or done, whether they're Democrat or Republican.
Well, I agree with that as well. I mean, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but we're talking a serious thing here, allowing the U.S. federal government to assassinate U.S. citizens anywhere on the planet. And it seems that there's a double standard, because if you're not a U.S. citizen, you have absolutely no Miranda rights. So, I mean, it seems like a human rights lawyer would be more outspoken about this blatant disregard for human rights, not only in the USA and our lack of Bill of Rights, but around the globe. I think if I
heard you correctly, sir, did you say if you're not a U.S. citizen, you have no Miranda rights? Is that what you said? Because that's not correct. Pardon me?
They can lock you up without any due process.
I think there have been some changes in that recently, but no, I think people are entitled to due process. It's obviously a lot more complicated whether people are, you know, captured on the battlefield, whether they're enemy combatants, whether they are not. It's a very complicated area. I do not pretend to be any kind of expert in that area. The basic concept that everybody should be entitled to due process is a value that I would endorse, and I think we have to be very careful about any infringements on that, and that I think people should be entitled to due process even if they're not United States citizens.
Well, that's a great idealism, but that's not the reality at this time, unfortunately.
Well, it may not be. It may not be, and I agree with you. It's not always the reality, but it should be the goal, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Ideals are great, but you got to try to stick to them and follow the rule of law.
Yeah, well, I mean, but sometimes situations are a lot more complicated. This is not an excuse. It's not a justification. But I'm saying I think we have to look at what all the factors are. I don't pretend to be able to give any kind of expert opinion on this because I haven't looked at it enough. That's all I can say. You may have more information than I do on that subject.
Well, thank you for your time. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for caring about due process. I think that's important. Thank you.
Very important.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. We are live with Gloria Allred here on BBS Radio. The people speak. And we encourage audience participation. Call in 1-888-429-5471. Gloria, do you have anything out there right now, anything else you want to get out to Bill Cosby to pursue him to make this right? Anything else you would like him to know?
Well, I mean, I think it's what you just put so well, Sophia, that he does need to make it right. He needs to do the right thing. And the right thing is not just to cancel his shows, which he's now doing. They're not all canceled, as far as I know, but some of them are. But he needs to, you know, take into account these women are making the allegations. He needs to face these allegations, and let's let a neutral person decide them. Not to think that this is just going to go away and then, you know, kind of shoo it off like you're shooing away a fly that's bothering you in the summertime. You know, it's very serious. You know, NBC said they're not going to do any more projects with him as a result of these serious allegations. You know, I think he's got to face it and then try to make it right to the extent that he can. There's got to be some justice here. There's got to be some accountability. Right now, you know, we want it to be a win-win situation. Let there be justice for both the alleged victims and for Mr. Cosby. Let there be accountability for everyone. But, you know, it's up to Mr. Cosby. He's got the power to do the right thing. But unfortunately, right now, he has not done that.
You know, if this was reported like 30, 40 years ago, and it was reported, who swept it under the rug and just kind of hid it away? And then all of a sudden think they could just bring it right back out 40 years later. You know, it brings in a lot of complication in the statute of limitations as well, right?
I don't think there should be a statute of limitations if somebody is alleging that they were drugged and sexually and raped. These are serious allegations. I mean, somebody could die from being drugged if that's in fact what happened. And, you know, that they couldn't move, they were unconscious, partially paralyzed, or semi-conscious. This is very serious. And, you know, I don't think there should be a time limit during which a person is, you know, and after which a person is prohibited from suing or case can't be prosecuted.
I agree.
So I think the law needs to be changed. But even if it's not changed, Mr. Cosby has an opportunity here to have this decided, you know, by a neutral finder of fact, that's a judge. But he's not doing that. And so I think he's just created a cloud that's going to always be over his legacy and his reputation. And if he's not going to remove it, no one else is going to be able to do it for him.
As we the people, how can we help that law get changed?
Well, I mean, I think everybody needs to talk to their legislators, and because they're the ones that need different in each state to change that. Time period set by law, which is different. I mean, we did it in California in the pre-sex abuse cases. I had a case in the 80s, or maybe the first one, perhaps, that was talked about publicly, where my client alleged she was sexually abused by 7 Catholic priests and had a baby by one of them. And that was the first one that most people had heard of publicly. And first, our case was dismissed because the statute of limitations. And then we lobbied for a change in the law for the legislature to open up the period of time for at least 1 year so the people who would otherwise be barred from filing would be able to do so. And the governor signed that bill into law. So we refiled the case, and then we litigated it, and then we were able to achieve a settlement with the Catholic Church. And so laws that are made can be changed, but there needs to be pressure. There needs to be, you know, legislators need to talk to, and they need to change the law. And, you know, a law that's passed can be changed, and that's what they need to do. In some cases, it's been changed for child sexual abuse, but not for adult sexual abuse. And I think it needs to be, widened for both.
I have a question from Mike in California. Has Gloria considered running for political office?
Well, my answer is, I've considered it, and I've rejected it. I'm not interested at all, but I thank somebody for suggesting it, in running for office. My law firm in Los Angeles, Allred & Rockland Goldberg, we act as though we're private attorney generals in many ways. I mean, somebody's got to pass the laws. That's the legislature. And then somebody's got to enforce the laws. And what we do is we try to enforce the laws that are there for the protection of people that we represent. We're the leading women's rights law firm in the country. We do more women's rights cases than anyone else. In the last 10 years alone, we've won hundreds of millions of dollars for victims. And we know this is what we love to do, and minorities that we represent, people who are gay and lesbian, people who are transgender, people who are victims of racial discrimination, You know, and we've represented men as well, by the way, in sexual harassment cases, not only women in sexual harassment cases. So we like representing victims, and this is what we do. And no, I don't want to run for office. I just want to continue to help people, to give a voice to the voiceless, to give power to the powerless and hope to the hopeless, and rights for everyone. That's what we love to do.
Mike in California is asking another question. He's saying, Gloria, will you be my Valentine?
That's very sweet. No one has asked me to be their Valentine. I accept.
Oh, that's so sweet.
There you go. A first on Sonia's show, right here.
That's great. That is great. You know, before we close the show out tonight, is there anything that you want the listeners to know? Any books, websites?
I want the listeners to know they have more strength and courage to win justice than they've ever given themselves credit for. If they want to contact me, they can go to my webpage. They can go to GloriaAllred.com and find out more about me and how to contact me. So it's just GloriaAllred.com. That's Gloria, A-L-L-R-E-D.com. And, you know, we look forward to reviewing your case if you might have one or problem. We look forward to helping you if we can. And we look forward to being there to support you if it's at all possible for us to do so. And we wish all of you success. And, you know, when you win rights for one person, it really helps a lot of other people as well. We think, you know, we fight the rich, the powerful, the famous every day on behalf of typical people whose rights have been violated in employment and in other areas of life. And that's what we're going to continue to do for as long as God gives me this gift of life.
I don't know. Hello?
I'm here.
All righty. Great. You know, I appreciate you on the show. I commend you for your work, your duty, women. And thank you, Gloria. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be on your show. I wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day. And February 15th, I wish everybody happy Susan B. Anthony's birthday as well.
Oh, that is great. That is
okay.
Great.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
You too. And next week's guest, we have coming on journalist. What is her name? Oh, excuse me. I cannot. Who is our next week's guest? It's human rights. Ronnie Kanik. Please join us next week for Ronnie Kanik. Also, I want to give a big thanks out to Don and Mike. Thank you so much. Happy Valentine's to everybody. Have a good night.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.